And from the beginning, we were always taught that God's holy Sabbath has two components to it. The first is to abstain from work. Sundown Friday, or sundown that begins a holy day, we're not working. The second component is to gather together in God's name as His sons and daughters to worship Him in spirit and in truth. God has many reasons for us coming together. I can quote Mr. Ken Martin, our regional pastor, who coined the phrase divine summons. When I think of God's holy Sabbath, I often think of his description of it, a divine summons. If you think about it, it's very much that. But it's another aspect of our gathering together I'd like to examine this afternoon. If you would please turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. We'll take a look here at a very, very well-known scripture. Probably all of us have seen it and heard it, had it read to us. Proverbs 27 will begin in verse 17. We find this written. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. This is a very well-known, often quoted scripture. We usually relate this with the value of close relationships and the benefits that we reap from them, and this is true. Today I would like to examine this passage of scripture a little closer, and if we can, maybe try to understand a little more about it, a little better perhaps. I'd like to try and answer two questions in the few minutes that we have. First, why does God use the analogy of iron? Why doesn't he use some other material? Why iron, after all? How is our relationship with God and our spiritual life enhanced by this? The title today is When Iron Sharpens Iron. When we consider this passage, we often think about two pieces of iron, one being ourselves, and the other perhaps another member of this congregation or another that we're particularly close to. Often I think of a master chef sharpening a knife with the tempered steel sharpener they so often use. A good chef is quite skilled at this, and he or she can hone an edge on a knife very quickly. May not be readily apparent to most people, but iron has a very unique quality about it. If it's subjected to heat and friction, over time an outer crust of compacted iron molecules is formed on the iron. This forms a protective bond and protects the piece from further wear. It is this quality that allows machine parts, engine components, and drive components such as gears to have the long life they do. It is this quality about iron that allows a motorist to get 100,000 miles or more out of their car. With proper use, metal parts wear to fit one another and extend the life of the device in which they're used. If you would please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24, and we'll look here at a rather unusual scripture directed at the young men of Old Testament Israel. Deuteronomy 24 and verse 5. We'll find here, when a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war or be charged with any business. He shall be free at home 1 year and bring happiness to his wife whom he has taken. This is something that's probably never followed today. But why would God require this from the men of Old Testament Israel? This is why. So a close bond would form between the married couple, so they could spend time together, iron out their difficulties together, learn to rely on one another, strengthen one another, so iron could sharpen iron. In this culture, forming a close bond in marriage seems to be just about the last item on the list for new couples. Among people here and there, people that we meet, sometimes you find a married couple that seems to defy this. Their marriage seems totally unbreakable. Bulletproof. Well, we just read The Secret. Two people that gave themselves to one another. Iron sharpening iron. Metal parts must wear in together, and it's the same with human beings. We all come with our own rough edges, you might say. This new covenant that God has given us is a marriage covenant, is it not? Yes, it is. The church is the bride of Christ, is she not? Yes, she is. Can we see the connection? As the people of God, we must be sharpened and honed to have a good fit with Jesus Christ. A very wise man once told me that we are not only called into the church of God as a whole, but into the local congregation as well. It's the local congregation where we should learn to love one another and care for one another, learn to serve one another, learn to shed our faults and imperfections together. It is in the local congregation where a man or woman learns to actually apply what is written in God's Word. It is where faith is built. It's where the rubber meets the road, you might say. Maybe better put, where the iron meets the iron. It is this reason that God has chosen the picture of iron sharpening iron. Heat is the product of this closeness and the friction rubbing together. You can even do that with your hands and generate heat. Heat directly represents zeal for God's purpose and His way of life, empowered and energized by His Holy Spirit. If there is no closeness, there is no heat. The individual iron cannot produce its own heat. It requires both the close relationship with the other iron and the interaction with it. An iron alone is a very cold iron. It is also untempered and unusable. This microscopic layer on iron parts as they wear in is there for protection. It strengthens the iron and gives it the unique property of resisting further wear. You know, it's interesting that this prophesied beast power to come is described in Daniel 7 as wearing out or wearing down the saints. Could this possibly be a picture, a description of those who didn't bother to sharpen their iron? God has placed this in our lives not as a pretty platitude, but for our strengthening of our protection as dark times come upon us. I don't know about most of you, but I often think of myself as one iron and a member of this congregation as the other. I can tell you this, my wife and I have been strengthened and sharpened by many of you over the years. But does the other iron have to be just one person? Could it be an entire congregation? Why not? Going still further, could that other iron be Jesus Christ Himself? Why not? Is this not what He did with His disciples, later to become apostles? They spent time with their Master, learned things from Him, submitted to His example and leadership. They allowed Him to hone and strengthen their character to a sharp edge, like a master chef in action, sharpening his blade, iron sharpening iron. Our close relationship to each other enhances and strengthens the individual believer. We can become tempered in this way, just as the iron metal is. Further, during the sharpening and tempering process, unwanted material such as rust, corrosion and scale is removed. Through this analogy of iron sharpening iron, God has provided us a perfect picture of character development. Once the roughness and corrosion is removed through this sharpening and honing process, leaving only the mind and character of God sharpened and tempered in faith. It's a little revealing that the Hebrew word used here for sharpening describes the process of hammering out a sharp edge to produce for a particular use, forming a tool. Now, if you would please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We find Paul here advising Timothy, beginning in verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, this is a reference to dishonor in the previous verse, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, that's made holy, and useful for the master, a useful tool, prepared for every good work. What do you suppose the destiny finally would be of such a person who went through this process? Prepared for every good work. This is a person who can enter the kingdom of God, a fit tool. Other common scriptures that relate to this are Ephesians 6 and 10, where we're admonished to put on the whole armor of God. This relates to the compacted, tempered metal tool that resists wear. The concept of heat and friction is found in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6, where Paul instructs Timothy to stir up the gift that is in him. God requires transformation, and he allows the time for this to take place. This is in Romans 12 and verse 2. This transformation is God's work, and he gets the credit. But it does not happen without our participation. The picture of iron sharpening iron is a part of that process, and God expects us to be a part of that. Once again, we find ourselves at the close of another Roman year. Once again, we see the evidence of our dying world everywhere we look. Right before our very eyes, every single day. What should we do? What can we do? First, we must know that none of these things is in our hands or our control, but God's. He's in control. He's in total control. God alone determines the fate of nations. And the fate of ours, it seems rather obvious, based upon what we know from these scriptures. So as we round the corner into 2016, we can look forward to the spring holy days. Let us go to God as a people in faith, asking him to finish the work he has begun in us, sharpening and honing us to a sharp, gleaming edge. And in so doing, making us hot with zeal and faith for his purpose. A fit tool for Jesus Christ. That's what you have when iron sharpens iron.